'Cause it's midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343 0106. You need to be in touch with the show. Hit us up on the text line. Always appreciate the feedback. Time permitting, we'll get to your text. Joining us now, she heads up the Alabama Policy Institute. Always a pleasure to bring on Stephanie Holden Smith. Stephanie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Hey, as always, we appreciate you coming on, especially kind of at the last minute here. Well, the reason I asked you on, and I'm interested in this, Innovate Alabama, and, you know, we're always told these, whatever the economic development projects or whatever are like big priority in this state. And you know, I assume you feel the same way I feel about it, but I was a little startled, just to see the lion's share of it. I mean, maybe not surprised in Jefferson County, in Birmingham, but I guess this is part of your calculations or the ALDOS project you guys have at the Alabama Policy Institute. Kind of walk us through what it is and how you came up with these numbers.
Yeah, so, you know, we've done kind of an ongoing analysis of the Innovate Alabama allocations and dollars and kind of what they're putting money toward. And I think it's valuable to kind of back up a step. And for people who might not be familiar or understand kind of what it was supposed to be, the Innovate Alabama was set up with our taxpayer dollars to incentivize technology, incentivize workforce, incentivize connecting people and resources to be able to accelerate both jobs and high-level innovations and technology in the workplace in Alabama. And our frustration with what's actually ended up happening with those dollars is illustrated in this in the maps that you're referring to, but we also did, you know, some other work on kind of their processes and then where the money was going. These new maps, really, I mean, it's all public information. You know, a lot of what we do at ALDOS is public information. It's just we're the only ones looking at it or, you know, distributing it in that type of way. And so what the maps are really seeking to show is where the money is being allocated. And what struck me and, you know, our staff who worked on this was that the money is being concentrated in urban areas, very, very clearly being concentrated in urban areas, not rural areas, and certainly not Black Belt areas. And the frustrating thing for us is that, you know, maybe there's the argument, okay, well, there's not a lot of, you know, biomedical engineering firms in the Black Belt, except for that's not who they're giving the money to. There are dollars that are going to restaurants and food trucks and municipalities and local parks and things like that. But the money is clearly not being distributed evenly across the state. And then also it's not specifically for the function that Innovate Alabama was created for.
Well, and this is why it caught my attention for this audience. You got it broken down all the way down to the penny here, but almost $61 million to Jefferson County. Madison County with Huntsville, $18.5 million, $9 million from Montgomery. But you go down in Baldwin County, $4.3 million, and Mobile, $3.4 million. Just a fraction of what's going into Jefferson County. And I mean, this is true, but it's also just a fraction of what's going into Madison County, even in less than half of what's going into Montgomery.
Right. Yeah, and so, you know, the huge dollar amount going into Jefferson County is kind of eye-popping, as you alluded to. I mean, basically, you know, you've got over over $60 million going into Jefferson County. If you added up all of the other, quote, kind of major counties with major metropolitan areas in them, it still doesn't equal Jefferson County. And so then the question becomes this, and that's what we're trying to do with ALDOGE, is ask the right questions so that there are answers that are generated from legislators and others, which is, okay, why is that the case? This is what's happened. Why is that the case? And, you know, it, have the expectation that these taxpayer dollars, have some accountability attached to them. Why are we investing as a state, $61 million into Jefferson County when, Baldwin or Mobile, put together, is less than eight? That's a legitimate question. And then you have kind of a North Alabama versus South Alabama question, because if you look at that map per county, it's pretty clear that, the vast majority of the darker colors, which is the larger numbers, are in North Alabama, not Central, certainly, and not even in South Alabama.
Well, just by sense, looking at it, I mean, and this is where all the quote-unquote big mules reside. It's a big mule slush fund, generally. It's not well distributed. This is where the powers that be reside, and that's where it's going.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that, again, if Jefferson County were the hub of the innovative, things that are happening in our workforce, our areas of workforce, then that would be why it would be there, right? But then you look at the municipalities and the money that's given to municipalities, and I mean, there's basically none given to Madison, where a lot of the innovation is happening. And so then it comes back to our original couple of data sets that we put out earlier this year about where the Innovate money is going. And a lot of the money is going to things that I don't think that taxpayers think of when they're thinking of economic development funds or workforce development funds. Almost $500,000 to a restaurant in downtown Birmingham, yoga studios, convenience stores, $1 million to a convenience store in Jefferson County. $500,000 to a minority-based for-profit law firm. Things like that are not really kind of on the average taxpayer's to-do list of things that they want their tax dollars going toward, regardless of where it is in the state.
Well, this is like, I think important. I mean, like, this was sold as something that it's turned out not to be. And you know how these things are, and these guys, especially when they pass these things, they pat themselves on the back and talk about how awesome it's going to be. Other than the sort of weird restaurants, food trucks, convenience stores, and so on and so forth, I mean, like, based on your analysis, where is it going?
Yeah, I mean, some of it, you can get into an ideological argument and take back a few steps of, why are we using taxpayer dollars to incentivize private industry at all? You could start there and then move forward. Right. There are some legitimate businesses that it's going toward. There are some small business loans that is going toward that are probably, giving an advantage to some folks that wouldn't have it otherwise. The question is that a state function, and is it effective? And if they can't find innovative companies or companies that need a small business loan that are not in the service industry or a food truck or a convenience store, then maybe the best thing to do would not be to give out that money, but to save it. I mean, those taxpayer dollars that are specifically meant for something specific. And that, to me, I don't think anybody, when that bill passed, anticipated $1 million going to a convenience store.
Or they're just better at gaming it. The legislative delegation there, they wrote the bill. I mean, there's a lot of power there. And look, here's the other thing, Stephanie. I mean, I get it. That's where the population is. You would expect them to have the biggest number, but not exponentially, not in this way at all.
Right. And I mean, just this year, you know, I mean, $61 million is a lot of money. You know, there are a lot of things that could be done with that money. And my question is, why are the folks who are running this board and running this organization not asking the next question, which is, if they're not going to ask the free market question that we ask, which is, why is government in charge of picking winners and losers with our tax dollars? If you're going to gloss over that argument or question, the next question really should be, okay, what are we doing wrong in the state to where we're not able to use these incentive funds for things that are actually going to help move our state forward? And then the answer to that question is where the money should go, not to just whoever applies for it. If they're, you know, specifically minority owned, or if they, you know, have a friend in the legislature, that is not how taxpayer dollars are supposed to be allocated. And that seems to be what's happening here.
Yeah, you know, whenever you talk about these programs, well, everybody does it, Stephanie. We have to do it too. We have to do it too, or we'll be at a competitive disadvantage. And then you see something like this, you're like, no, this just looks like I called it a slush fund, but I don't know what else to call it, of ways to get money to constituents, pork barrel at its worst.
Right. And there are other programs, like, for instance, the allocation of money going to municipalities, I think is really interesting as well. There's smaller dollar figures, but also there are other pockets and pools of money that are supposed to be for that purpose. So why are Innovate dollars, which are supposed to be going to incentivize business and help get people into the workforce, going to municipalities for their local parks? There are other pots of money that are supposed to go to local parks, namely local funds, but there are also state funds. Even legislators have funds that they can give out to municipalities and local schools and local parks and things like that with their community development grants. Why is this Innovate money that's supposed to be helping us build technology and build a healthy workforce going to things like a local park or a playground for kids?
Well, we learned all about all this, right, with John Rogers and Fred Plump in Birmingham, and I guess both of them are serving time, but they were, you know, moving their community grant money around in a self-beneficiary fashion.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's not uncommon. It's human nature, and it's just a matter of time before somebody else decides that that's a good idea as well. But that's part of our argument at ALDOGE through API, which is there's got to be accountability and transparency for every single tax dollar, and if the dollars are not being used for what they were allocated for by the legislative process, then basically, you know, our argument would be there should be a clawback system and taxpayer dollars should be accountable and transparent. I will give the Innovate folks credit. They are now being much more transparent in their board meetings and in the data that they're making available about where this money is going than they were in the past. I don't know if that has to do with ALDOGE or not, and possibly does. But I will say that it is good that they are being transparent, but what is now clear is that it is very unevenly handed out, and the money that is being allocated for the most part is not true to the mission of how the organization was.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you know, the transparency is built in, and that's a built-in accountability measurement. Other than you guys, I mean, what are the checks on it within the system? Because you guys are obviously on the outside looking in.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's always what they do. And they, well, you know, every penny is going to be put toward a, you know, something that is going to benefit not just this place, but the entirety of the state. And that's how they sell it. And then you see this, and that's clearly not what's going on. So is there a deficiency in sort of the accountability mechanisms that are within?
I think there are. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, not to change the subject, but I think that we see that in other, initiatives of the state, programs of the state, even some quasi-governmental entities in the state, like, as far as different you know, the High School Athletic Association and the ABC board overstepping bounds. There really needs to be kind of a sentiment by the state legislature that the laws that they pass are actually what they mean.
Right.
And if that is not what is happening in whatever agency or initiative it is, then they should be accountable back to the legislature that passed the law.
Well, this is just the problem that I mean, they talk about how all powerful the Alabama legislature is. They have a contract review board that can, that's almost too
slow things down.
Yeah. All they can do is really slow things down. They can't, you know, necessarily cancel anything. And we always hear about like the Joint Transportation Committee but then when it comes down to it, the best example is Divisive Concepts and how these big mule colleges, if you will, Auburn and Alabama are sure. avoiding the law there.
Yeah. And they're not even really subtle about it, frankly. And so that's what has been interesting about this Innovate data. Now that it's publicly available, which again, credit to them, it's publicly available. It should be, it's our money. So it should be, transparent and publicly available, but that's what makes it interesting is that, you know, when you do see that transparency, then you see, you know, the act of circumvention of the law. Same thing with the schools on DEI things and, you know, Divisive Concepts. There's a clear level of lawlessness that is being tolerated in the state on this and several other issues, in my opinion, which is there are folks that are trying to figure out ways to circumvent the Alabama legislature. And if I was a legislator, I mean, if I'm just being frank, that would really tick me off.
Stephanie, you got to leave it there, but folks want to find out more about the Alabama Policy Institute. How can they do so?
We're on all social media, and then our website is alabamapolicy.org.
Stephanie, we'll do it again soon. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. We got to get a break in here. We shall return. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FN Talk 106.5.
Class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.